Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Sam Borman from CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm a second-year media and political studies student, and my favorite part about CFRC is the freedom that they allow me to really play whatever I want and the community and how helpful everyone that volunteers and works here is. If you want to hear more from me, I have a show called Punk is Dead on Monday nights at 10 p.m., and our funding drive runs from November to December 31st. Donations can be made at cfrc.ca. Thank you for all the support you've given CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, this is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. Does local news matter to you? CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC raise $25,000 this year and make your gift today via cfrc.ca. Don't forget to tune in for daily news programming and subscribe to our news podcast to keep up with the latest in your community.
This episode of the Kingston Live podcast is brought to you by Grand On Stage. Get the most out of the Kingston Grand Theater experience with access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand On Stage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
A life in music often involves a lot of twists and turns. New styles and trends inspire new sounds and ideas, and sometimes those ideas grow in unexpected new directions. This is Kingston Live, and today we're sitting down with a staple of the Canadian alternative scene, who's finding inspiration in a new project. If you're a longtime listener of Canadian rock music, the name Stephen Stanley may ring some bells. Stephen's story goes back over three decades, starting in 1991, when alongside Ron Hawkins and David Alexander, Stephen formed Toronto alternative outfit The Lowest of the Low. The band quickly gained the attention of listeners in the clubs on Queen Street West and beyond with their punk-inspired sound. And before long, their debut album Shakespeare My Butt became one of the best-selling independent Canadian albums of its day. The band would go on to produce three more records together before Stephen split from the group to pursue his own projects. And though he left Toronto for Wolf Island, he never left the stage. His current project, Stephen Stanley and No Electric, turns the volume down on his music, swapping out electric guitars and distortion for an all-acoustic ensemble. Today we're sitting down with Stephen to talk building a band, becoming part of the Kingston music scene, and finding inspiration in the quieter side of music.
Stephen Stanley, welcome to the Kingston Live podcast.
Thanks. It's great to be talking to you again, Rob.
Finally, we're able to get you on.
Happy with this.
You always have so much on the go. It's hard to know where to begin. I feel like you're gaining velocity as time goes down instead of slowing down. You've had this envious career. Not many artists have had a feature-length documentary film about them. I'm talking about Subversives, of course, the film about the trailblazing Canadian indie band Lowest of the Low, which you co-founded. And if you haven't seen it, listeners, you can pause this episode right now and go track it down and watch it. It is well worth watching. But I feel like after The Low went on hiatus, after, you know, releasing the second album, was it? I think there was a break. But you just kept on cruising. And you've kind of covered so much ground since then. And do you ever get questioned about The Lowest of the Low and think, oh yeah, that little thing I did way back when? Because you've covered so much ground since then, and it's almost like I sense it would be like a visual artist looking back at an early painting. You know, considering the sum of your artistic repertoire, you know, is what you accomplished in those early days as special to you as The Low is to so many fans this day?
I think in some ways it feels like it's just right in my grasp, and in other ways it just feels like miles and miles away. I mean, you know, that was 35 years now, going back to the beginning, and a lot's happened in that period of time. I do, you know, I'm proud of what I did with that band, and I think it really set me up for everything that I've done since. But there was a need for me to step out of it, for sure, and I have no regrets about that part either. What I've done since then is, accumulatively, there's a lot happening. It's all been kind of on a smaller scale, but I mean, I don't take for granted that, you know, most of the times that I play, there's people there to see it and people that really like it, which is, that's still floors me. And I think, as you said, I think I consider myself, you know, incredibly lucky to have been in that band and to have had the career that happened afterwards. Now, the career that happened afterwards doesn't happen unless I sort of stop and say to myself, okay, I want to get more serious about being a songwriter and I want to get more serious about running a band. There's an audacity that goes, and I'm not blowing my own horn, but there's an audacity in having your own band and playing your own music, because honestly, like, I mean, there's some days you wake up and think, who cares? Like, who cares about this? It's only me. Like, there's nobody else that cares about this. But then, you know, you keep going and there's been, things that have happened, you know, in the last few years that have, I think, made me a better performer. One of them, strangely, was the pandemic, where I don't even know how I decided to do this. And I know a lot of people were doing it, but it seems so alien to me. But I started doing online shows. And there's something about singing to a computer. And again, it was lovely because I knew there was a crowd watching, like, you know, I mean, to this day, I'll go to a show wherever I play and someone says, hey, I just want to thank you for, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know you were watching. And there's like this whole secret society that watched those shows, but it made me refocus on connecting with an audience. And that's kind of become my thing since then, is about, you know, creating that bond between the people that come to see you and the band. And that's so important. And I don't know, I just found a different way to do it sitting in front of a computer like we're doing now. So that was big. And then the other side of it is the radio show I do out of Muskoka is this connection to new Canadian music. And it's changed the way I listen to and the way I look at the scene that I'm around. And I think there's something so vital happening in Canada right now, to the point where a guy like me with this weekly show, I have no problem finding 12 new Canadian songs every week. And I'm not talking mainstream stuff. It's indie stuff. It's stuff that, you know, exists kind of in the same place that I've lived all my life. And it's pretty impressive, like the amount of great stuff coming out in Canada.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, I guess one of the points I was making was just on top of continuing to make and perform music and record music, and you've got multiple projects on the go, you also have a radio show. It's called Northern Wish.
Northern Wish, yeah.
Is that a Rio Statics nod?
It's from the Rio Statics nod, okay, Northern Wish. That's where I stole it.
But you're still listening to new music, you know, curating it, you know, on a weekly basis for your show.
Look, I was the kind of person that would, in the days when we spent more money and time buying music, I would buy like 6 records and I would listen to them for 3 months solid and not really step outside. And now there's a different way to listen to music with streaming, and the whole world's available to you at your fingertips, basically. So now that I have this task to have 12 new songs every week that I want to play on my show, I listen in an entirely different way. I'm not the myopic, you know, I'm only listening to, if I'm looking at myself in the late 80s, I'm only listening to Pete Townsend's solo record for the next 3 months.
Yeah, it's so funny how albums defined periods of your life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back then. I bounce back and forth between the two formats now. So, like, there's a handful of singles that are on high rotation, but I keep coming back to some records. Actually, speaking of records, last time we sat down together, we were talking about Stephen Stanley Band.
Yeah.
Because you just put out a new LP before Collapse of the Hive.
Yeah, before the Collapse of the Hive, yeah.
And today we're talking about a new project, though, Stephen Stanley and No Electric. So who's involved and how'd this come together?
Yeah, so Jason Mercer, who's a Wolf Islander and someone I've known for a long time, he was in the Bourbon Tabernacle Choir, currently on the road with Ron Sexsmith. But like, Jason had stopped playing rock. He has his own studio. He's a really brilliant producer, and he and I have talked for a long time about the idea of doing something together, and it kind of became apparent it wasn't going to be a rock band because he didn't want the volume. Also, he's a spectacular upright bass player and a spectacular banjo player. And so we originally thought we would just do some duo shows, just sort of off the cuff. And I'd booked a show in St. Albans in Adolphus Town that was ended up happening just this last May. And we booked it, and I booked it as the Stephen Stanley Band. And about a week later, the woman who books the place wrote back to me and said, hey, would you be interested in just doing this as an all acoustic show? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. That wouldn't have been with the band. So I asked Jason if he could do it. And then Chris Bennett, who's been playing guitar with me for probably 18 years now, since I left Lowest of the Low. He and I probably started playing in 2008 or something like that. So you can do the math on how many years that is. I'm not good at that stuff. So it was the three of us. And then I just wanted one more piece to the puzzle. And this guy named Michael O'Grady, who had played most recently with the Mahones, with Vinny, and is a brilliant musician.
Some people might know him as the Whistle Man.
The Whistle Man is exactly what it is. So he plays tin whistle and accordion in the band. Yeah. And it's quite phenomenal how good of a musician this man is. Like, it's just, when we get to the point,
you've assembled an all-star cast here.
They're all better musicians than me, which is the exciting. It's like learning to play tennis and people tell you, play with people that are better than you. And that's what I've done here. And it's like, you know, so I'm bringing the songs and I'm bringing the most of the vocal thing. And we've done 6 shows now. And this tour coming up is 7 shows. So after that, we're going to record. But it's amazing to me watching this thing develop into a really polished show. I mean, there's a point in the show where the tin whistle is revealed, and the reveal is just bombastic, and the audience so far has just been so, the reaction to it has been so over the top. I just love it. And I love playing with, I mean, I love all these guys, and I love playing with really quality musicians that care about bringing their own thing to it. I've never been somebody, I'm kind of the opposite of like people like Frank Black, who are like, hey, you play this and you play this and you play this. I want people that, if I'm playing with them, I want them to bring their thing into the band. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a structure that's involved in pop songs. After that, I don't really care. I love that we're doing a lot of material across the, you know, the whole length of my songwriting career, and it's all being kind of reimagined in the scope of this band, and I'm loving how it's developing, because like the last show we did was like, oh, okay, so there's, everybody had stepped away for a month, and we came back and did the show in Brighton at this really cool place called Northumberland Fine Foods, and I was kind of getting blown away by just playing with these guys. I just love it.
Yeah, and where's their enthusiasm? Like, it sounds like the band's starting to gel.
Yeah.
Presumably, they're just as excited as you are.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I mean, like, everybody has, like, Jason's incredibly busy right now because he's out on the road with Ron Sexsmith.
And that's, every time I turn around, his name is there, or he's playing with someone or somewhere, you know.
I mean, but that's because he's just that good. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just, and he's also a super fun guy to have around. And it's like, you know, you've got 4 guys that everybody brings ideas. So when I'm saying this band's developing, I had this sort of thing in mind when we started it, that it would be a lot of like 4-part harmony vocals. And for the first couple shows, that didn't really play out because I started realizing, okay, like, I'm asking these guys to learn 30 songs plus the words to 30 songs. Mm-hmm. That's a big ask. But now it's starting to happen where they know the songs now, and they're, once you get past that point of like, I know the structure and they're all good players, then you can just start to fool around with stuff, and it's just so much fun to be a part of that.
As the band continues to coalesce, do you think you're going to come together and maybe sit down and craft some new songs?
I hope so. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm trying to get my head around writing specifically for this, because I think there's a different vibe than writing rock, and we've purposely not added a drummer, mm-hmm. because there's a space that exists, and there's a freedom of playing that exists without having to lock into a beat. Not that drummers can't do that too, because they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I play with great drummers as well. But I just wanted to have the space of, I mean, that's where the name came from, Nothing Electric, and a band that we could sit around the campfire and be as effective as, you know, mic'd up in an auditorium. So,
will the Stephen Stanley Band carry on?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I'm okay doing multiple things, like having them sort of here, here, and here. But as far as actually writing and recording, like, I'm not somebody who will, like, I don't imagine like up 2 records coming out at the same time with a rock band and with this band. So I think for the next little while,
you won't starve one child just to feed the other, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, I think part of the reason I left Lowest to the Low is because I was really comfortable and really happy in that position as, you know, the lead guitar player and the second vocalist. But I'm not somebody who will do both things at the same time. So I wouldn't have done all the solo stuff I've done if I'd stayed in that band. I would have been, you know, probably two or three songs every record. And I just figure I had more to say and I needed to sort of be a bit drastic about that. And it wasn't, at the time, I wasn't loving the repetition of being in a band like that for as long as I'd been in it. I was just sort of doing the same dog and pony show over and over again. It started to feel not authentic, and I think everything about that band was, for me, well, for all the guys, was about authenticity and really sort of feeling in the moment. So it was, I mean, it was the right decision. I mean, probably a terrible financial decision, but it was the right decision.
Well, let's get back to No Electric. You're about to hit the road for a 7-date tour.
Yeah.
And I know No Electric doesn't have a record out yet, so tell us about the material that you're going to be performing.
Yeah, right. Like I said, it does sort of span the entire career. We're sort of cherry picking from right across the board. And we brought in some songs that haven't been played live in a long time, like a song from Hallucinogenia called Benedetto's Hand.
Oh, wow.
Because it fits with the Tin Whistle so beautifully. And it's been nice because I'd just been in Portugal about 3 months before we put the band together and did those first shows. And that song is about the first time I went to Portugal. So it was nice to sort of have that come back. And I had spent about 8 days with the guy who, a friend of mine who I'd met the first time I was in Portugal, who really lost touch with for 32 years. But because I was going back to Portugal, I found a way to get in touch with him and said, hey, I'm going to be there. And would you mind if could we get together and maybe have a drink? He said, just come and stay here. And I stayed at his place in the north of Portugal in a town called Penedono for another 8 days. And that's just mind-blowingly fun and beautiful. It's such a beautiful part of the world, that sort of Douro region in Portugal. If you know it at all, it's just so stunning, and so like these rolling hills and everything. Everything is old school. The only thing is Portugal's really been hit by the birth gap, and there's so many empty houses in the north of Portugal, just nobody living in them. So if you want to live somewhere with cheap real estate, that's a beautiful place to do it.
I'm online right now. I'm going to look into this right now.
You can have your pick. It's pretty incredible. He would just go, that house is empty, that house is empty, that house is empty. We'd drive into these little towns in the middle of the day, like say on Wednesday, and there'd just be nobody. Like the streets are just empty, and you can picture it because Portugal has a very distinct look, and all these little towns look the same, depending on the geography. The, you know, up and down of it all changes. But I'm like asking him, where is everybody? He goes, well, a lot of people have moved to Switzerland, a lot of people have moved to France, and the bigger cities in Portugal are, you know, bursting at the seams like Toronto is here, but boy, yeah, it's hurting up there as far as
population. Do they have a winter there?
Not like they do here. I mean, I was there in late December into January, and, you know, it was, you know, like a jacket like this was the most you had to wear. So
I'm down with it. You know, it's awesome to hear that story because I have a fondness for that song. I'm sure many Lois Lowe fans have a fondness for that song. But besides Lois Lowe, I know Chris is part of No Electric. He's carried over from Stephen Stanley Band. You'll be playing Stephen Stanley Band songs as well.
Yeah, lots, yeah.
Is it weird to play them acoustic, or is it different? Or how have you and Chris kind of like...
No, you know,
to appreciate delivering this material in a different way.
Chris was the cog that made the Stephen Stanley Band into a rock band, because when... At that moment in time when Chris and I had decided we were going to form a band and then spend about 8 months ramping that up to the point where we recorded Jimmy and the Moon, I wanted it to be an acoustic band. I wanted it to be like acoustic guitars. Not so much, I wasn't sort of pushing Chris to be acoustic, but I wanted like an upright bass player and maybe a drummer who was stand up and just playing a snare. And that stemmed from... Elvis Costello had toured a couple times with his band, but it was just sort of broken down into this. And I think he had that show that they did eight episodes where he would guest with other artists. It was a late night show on NBC or something like that. And his band in that show was, I think it was Dave Farrager playing upright bass, and then a couple other musicians playing banjo. And I was like, this was really interesting to me. But Chris was like, no, we're going to be a rock band. So I was like, okay, cool, we'll be a rock band. And so we put the rock band together. We did Jimmy and the Moon. We did a ton of playing. We replaced one member and then worked towards the last record, which was Before the Collapse of the Hive. But there were steps that ended up happening one of them being Jason not wanting to play rock, which, you know, I mean, I had this idea of, as I'd moved out this way, having a unit out here and having a unit in the Toronto area was making a lot of sense because, you know, there's the idea of touring is really hard right now because it costs so much to get people moved around. It costs so much to put people in hotels and things like that. So Jason had done a few of those shows, but then he sort of had this thought that he wasn't liking playing rock in general just because it was really, you know, I mean, I know because I'm losing my hearing as it stands. Lowe's loaded that to me. That's my legacy. It's my left ear. My ear that faced the band is about half the level of my right ear. And when I had it tested a few years ago, the doctor was like, oh, well, we have to do x-rays and we're going to do an MRI. And I said, well, you can do it all, but I know why. And he said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I was in a rock band for like about 20 years and this year faced the band, this year didn't. He goes, that's not why. And I said, no, it's why. He was trying to find some structural damage that I have, which of course didn't exist. But, you know, I mean, it's like just the reality. That band played loud on stage and this ear took the brunt of it.
Well, now you can get one of those really cool ear cones or whatever.
What are you saying? I know it's like, it's you know, something I've got to deal with sooner than later. But anyways, so I kind of like the idea of being in a quieter band too. And there's something as I've kind of moved along and become, I think, a much better vocalist than I was back in the day, that I love the idea of the space for vocals. And I love the idea of having lots of vocal harmonies. And you can showcase that in a quieter band. So there's a lot of reasons why I think it makes a ton of sense. And I'm just excited to play with these guys. And as you said before, I think these guys are as excited to do it as well. So where it's going to go after we do these shows, I can't be concrete about it yet. We've got plans to do a couple different things recording. One of them is maybe to record all the songs that I wrote for Lowest of Low again as acoustic versions, which I kind of love because I don't do all of them live. There's probably 8 or 9 songs. I probably do 5 of them. We do fairly regularly live. And then there's some that just have kind of not seeing the light of day. So I think having fun with that, and what we talked about as the four of us would be, we would just go into the studio, not really spend a lot of time prior to the studio, and just kind of bring fresh ideas to them and see what happens, and then to record some new material too. I mean, the dream would be to do some writing together, and whether we get to the point of, because of the geographies is a bit tough because Michael's in Toronto and Chris Bennett and I are in Prince Edward County now, and Jason's on Wolf Island. I spent a lot of time on Wolf Island still, but getting in a room to write is a whole other time constraint, which I'd love to do, and maybe we will. Yeah. And maybe we'll write something on this tour too, because we're going to have a lot of time together with the shows we're doing.
Yeah, so, well, getting back to the tour, you have a stop in Kingston on Friday, November 29th. You're doing a show at the Broom Factory. It's presented by KPP Concerts.
Yes.
Listeners, you can find the details and tickets at kingstonlive.ca. And in the episode notes, we'll be sure to put a link there for you. But it's your Kingston stop that's going to be a special show, right? Because you'll be joined by Tanya Joy at the Broom Factory, right? Tell us about Tanya Joy.
So Tanya is a friend of mine from Uxbridge, Ontario, and she's a fantastic singer-songwriter. I love her music, and I love her, and she also runs the Springtide Music Festival in Uxbridge and has taken... So, I mean, like, she's inspirational in that way because she's taken that festival and made it into something so vital. The last 3 years, I've run the workshop stages for her at the festival, so which basically is a very small piece of it. So I do a little bit of work for a couple days there, but then at night I get to go out and see all the bands, and it's just... This year was just so great. I mean, I got to see the Burning Hell in a really small room, and like, I'd never seen them live before that, and they blew my mind. It was just, it was so great. And there was more. It was like Barrel Boys, the Pears were fantastic. There's a guy from Uxbridge named Sajan Pierce who doesn't tour much. His band is called Hollow Sage and the 3 Mile Islanders. And their set at Springtide this year was like a blow the roof off experience. It was so great.
Yeah, it looks like a phenomenal festival.
Yeah.
And Tanya, what a phenomenal
singer.
Awesome. Like, she seems like very powerful, moving songs.
Yeah.
And she must just be such a force.
She's
a force. To be able to pull off such a great festival,
you know,
too.
You know what's the best thing about it is, though? Like watching and being around Tanya at the festival and knowing her outside of the festival, she just loves music. It's almost like she's said to herself, I'm going to curate this festival so I have a place to go to watch all the bands I love. And she's just completely embodies the joy of it all, which is not always the case. I mean, like, there's... Live music has changed so much in the last few years, and to me, it's becoming something that is, with no other choice, is being put in the hands of individual people who love music. So whether it's house shows or people that, there has been this big sort of jump in people that are building venues in their barns and garages, and they're just doing it because they want to be a part of the music scene, but also because they love doing it. I mean, a festival like Springtide has, I would imagine, because they have a large outdoor stage and there's multiple venues. So there's a financial issue that exists with that. So there's a bigger thing like that where somebody is, you know, running a multi-band and artist festival, and then there's people that are just sort of doing stuff in their living room.
I think it comes down to the value of experience that's being offered. It's one thing to go see the Arkells at Slush Puppy Place and, you know, sing your heart out with, 5,000 other fans and stuff like that. But it's another thing to see, a backyard show with, say Miss Emily or something, here in Kingston. It's different. It offers a different experience. Both are valuable. But, it's kind of what's the audience after. And I think that's a great thing that we've been able to diversify.
Yeah.
The live music experience. Actually, speaking of venues, I want to talk to you because we were talking just before the podcast how plentiful music venues are in Kingston. You've played many of them. Why the Broom Factory for this performance?
Simply because I love it. We did a show, it was supposed to be a rock band show at the Broom Factory earlier this year with Dead Root Revival. And it was a fantastic night. I absolutely loved it. They did something they hadn't done before where they set half the room with seats and half the room was standing, like right down the middle. And it was so cool. I've never experienced anything like it because basically like you're playing to like a theater crowd over here and then a dancing crowd over here. And our bass player had an issue and at the last minute couldn't come to the show. So we basically did it as an acoustic show, opening for a real heavy rock band. Like those guys rock. Like those guys are like, there's deeper groove as you'll find and rock and those four men. But it went so well, and I'd seen many shows at the Broom Factory, many shows. I was just there to see Peter Dreams a week ago with Moon River, and it's just, what a place. Like, it's very unassuming, but to me, having seen it now from both sides, like, I crave playing there again. So that's why we
wanted
to do the show.
It's a workspace by day, which is more mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's a great venue. Great sight lines, obviously, and also great sound. And I don't know, there's just something about, just some rooms are more magical than others. I don't know why, but that so when we talked about doing something, the last tour we did Wolf Island, and we wanted to do something in Kingston, and that just was the place that made sense. So hopefully we'll get a sizable crowd out there to enjoy it with us, because this show it'll do well in there if there's people there.
I know Stephen Stanley, Electric, recently played a few shows with one of our favorite local artists, Piner.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely, yeah. Clea is, honestly, a fantastic songwriter, and we integrated because she joined us for four songs every night, and it was a real highlight for me, like, just sort of this young songwriter. We did one of her songs. She sang an old song from the Too Many Sisters record, which I hadn't done live in, I don't know, probably 15, 20 years. So that was nice because it's just like, I mean, it's one of the few songs that I've written that I don't think I can sing it. It's the range requires a real low verse and a real high chorus. And I have pretty good range, but not that kind of range. And Clea has that kind of range. But it's also been great to just watch her develop as a songwriter, because I saw her, well, you were there. It was at
Furnace Falls Farm.
Yeah. And that was just by chance that she got added to that bill. I'm not even sure who put that together. Because it was you put the whole thing together?
Yeah. Well, yes, I helped book the bands and.
There you go. So I owe it to you then.
Yeah, maybe. That's really cool.
Yeah, because like from that point on, I've known of Clea, know her family, and it's just a pleasure to watch her develop as a songwriter, because she, so we were talking a bit before about the idea that there's musicians that are great and write great songs, play great shows, but maybe don't understand or even care to embrace the amount of effort that has to exist outside of those things. Clea does. Clea is a, like, she is going after it, and you can just see it. And she's been doing some recording in the county with Annalise Nerona, which is, I can't wait to hear what that produces, because Annalise is just a mega talent when it comes to anybody behind the boards. But yeah, Clea, you know, if you look at what she's done even since we did those shows in May, like, she's been out to BC, she went, played the Winnipeg Folk Festival. She's going after it, and she's got the energy and the wherewithal to do all those things that if you don't do now, because, like, you know, we were talking about the early 90s, and there was a little more of a mechanism and fewer bands. So it was easier to get press. If you were good, it was easier to sort of have a mechanism that puts you on the road. As you know, like, lowest to low, we would do like tours, 44 dates in 46 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's harder to do when you're booking it yourself, when we had agents doing all that for us. So most part, people are doing stuff by themselves now, and it requires, I mean, this tour for us, 7 dates, because I don't have an agent right now. It's like, it's a ton of work.
Oh, yeah, no
just
doubt. Yeah.
Lining up the days and making sure you can do them on days where everyone's available. I mean, you know, I mean, now that we're all older, the guys I'm playing with have a lot of other things going on in their lives. So it's not like we can just, like, hey, let's do a show on Tuesday and we'll do one in 3 weeks. It has to be very concise and very planned out. And it takes a long time to get that all lined up.
It takes an incredible amount of effort to get momentum going. But then once you got it, you're glad you put that effort in. Yeah, it just keeps rolling.
And that's why it's for someone like Clea, the momentum's going to be nothing but a boon, because it will continue to roll. I mean, you know, she and the band did a set at Blue Skies this year that was so good. Anyways, she's an exciting songwriter, and if you're in the Kingston area, you know that already, because she's plays in this area a lot in a lot of different iterations. I mean, I think I saw some of her first solo shows when she did some shows opening for BHS, which was Chris Brown and Ron Hawkins, and I did two tours. I guess a year apart, 2 years ago.
Yep.
And she opened a lot of those shows, and that was some of the first time she'd play solo. And it's just like the confidence she has in the confines of a band is at least as much and or more when she's playing by herself. It's really, it really is impressive.
Yeah. No, we have a lot of respect for her and her music. So I know Stephen Stanley and No Electric don't have a record out yet, but you do have some gorgeous live videos that were, were shot and produced by Kingston's Happy Kid Productions. Jay Middaw, who was the director of Live in Kingston, that was the film that inspired this year's podcast and the sort of sequel, Still Alive in Kingston. I don't know if you've seen that one, but we'll put a link in the show notes.
I haven't seen it yet, but I do want to see that.
Oh, man, it's really good. Yeah, really good. But the videos I saw, I think you mentioned earlier, they were recorded at St. Albans Center in Adolphustown, which is not far from Kingston. I was really blown away. Like, was it as magical as the videos made it seem?
Yeah, those four shows were all, in their own way, very magical, but we picked the right one to bring Jay in. So we recorded the audio, and still we're still deciding. Like, one of the things we thought about was culling, you know, 12 songs from that show and doing a live record as a starting point. And that may still happen. Like, it's hard to sort of put it in perspective, but all the guys are busy enough that we basically, like, we'll have a Zoom meeting once every month just to sort of see where things are and what we're going to do next. So what I'm hoping is that this next sort of run of 7 shows will be the momentum that takes us to the next place. But we brought Jay in through Clea. We met Jay through Clea, and she has a series of videos coming out of that show, too. I'm not sure where they're at, but that'll be cool to see.
Oh, cool. We'll have to watch for that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could play the audio from one of those songs.
Yeah.
I really like By Her Side.
Oh, cool, yeah.
That really, I got shivers when I was listening to that, watching that, actually. But maybe we can play that one?
It'd be lovely, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that song.
By Her Side was like the digital version of, it didn't make it onto the vinyl of Jimmy and the Moon, but it's on the digital version of the album on the CD, just because of constraints of time with pressing vinyl, which was kind of a drag, because it's a song that I love, and it's become one of the centerpieces of all the live stuff. People really sort of gravitate towards that song. But it also, it allows for all the musicians to sort of showcase their skills. It's a good song to solo over, so there's a nice part in the middle. And then at the end, we go into the audience, and the audience is singing along at a refrain that we do at the end of it. So I really like that video. Jay pushed for it because So here's something cool. When we go into the audience, we decided we were going to record that song completely acoustic. So there's just, you can see it in the video, there's one mic, the upright mic on the stage, and everything you're hearing is coming through that mic. So what we didn't really account for is when we go into the audience, we're no longer facing that mic, it's behind us, and we lost the audio kind of. So Jay was rolling five cameras, I think. So we took a hybrid of the sound he recorded through the cameras and hybrided the camera sound with the stage sound. And I think it's pretty seamless. It's pretty cool because when you go in the audience, you get the crowd singing along and that becomes the focal point at the end of the song. But yeah, it's a nice little, because, you know, I mean, that's mostly been played with a rock band up until now. So it kind of, I think it maybe lives in that space better just for that, whatever that song is. Yeah. So it's cool.
Goodbye of your life. Has this been the only way you survive? As it burns each night down in a silent rage, it steals your words so you can't engage. And you know there is a morning you just can't see, no. You just can't see. Has this been the hottest year of your life? Did you wake up and nothing changed overnight? The wind that blows away your doubts and pain, open up the sky for seven more long days of rain, and then sweep you away even further so you just couldn't see, no. You just couldn't see. Has she been the only one on your mind? Oh, as you look on skyward, and she stares out behind. In a haze of alcohol and misgiving, is this what she meant when she said start living? You can't be anywhere but by her side, oh. By her side, oh. One more time from Chris Bennett. On the accordion, Michael O'Grady. Michael O'Grady.
banjo, Jason Mercer. This county, just to hear her breathe. Is the night so much darker and darker? She decides to leave. She decides to leave. Unfinished sentences and prevaricating eyes fill you with questions till you apologize. Can't be anywhere but by her side. Oh, yeah, you know, you can't be anywhere but by her side. Oh, yeah, you know, you can't be anywhere, you can't be anywhere. You can't be anywhere by her side, oh. By her side, oh, 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 oh. By her side, oh, no, 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 no. By her side, oh.
This episode of Kingston Live is brought to you by Grand Onstage. Grand Onstage takes you beyond the regular Kingston Grand Theater experience. It's a subscription option that gives you access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. That means you can customize your own individual package starting at just 4 performances. Want to bring friends? Subscriber pricing applies to their tickets too. And if your plans change, just exchange your tickets for another performance. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand Onstage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
I know you still have a strong connection to Toronto.
Yeah.
You recently played a show with Lois the Lowe's Ron Hawkins at the Rivoli there. That would have been awesome to be at. But of all the places that a musician like you could choose to live, why Kingston? Like, there may be a practical reason, but it seems like you've really kind of found your place and your people here.
Yeah. I think that, you know, just to be clear, I'm actually living in Prince Edward County right now, but I don't know if that's going to say that.
Our umbrella covers that.
Yeah. Okay. Living on the island was...
But you're here. You're here a lot.
I'm here a lot.
You collaborate with a lot of musicians from here.
My partner lives on Wolf Island, so I'm back and forth a lot.
Claiming you, anyway.
Yeah. So just, I'm happy to be claimed by this music scene. I love it, and yeah, I don't know. There was something accessible about it that accepted me. I felt really accepted really quickly, and a long history of coming to Kingston. Like when the first place Lois the Lowe ever played, and I probably told the story before, but was we did a residency at the Toucan, and the first night, the first night was Thanksgiving Sunday, 1992, was the first, so we're facing an anniversary this weekend. That four-show run, which happened every Sunday for 4 weeks, by the end of it, we had an audience in Kingston, and we had a ton of friends in Kingston. So there's that connection to it. It was always close enough to Toronto that we could either stay or you could drive back after the show, and it wasn't too taxing. And as we were talking about before, there's a legacy from the Tragically Hip in Kingston that clearly has paved the roads for music, because based on the population, and if you did a comparison to other towns, and there's great music scenes all across Ontario, but I think the sheer volume of it and the sheer volume of quality bands is larger here than anywhere else. And also the venue thing, right? So, you know, I had, when I first moved here, which was now 2+ years ago, there's a photographer in town who said the best thing about Kingston to me is that I can go out any given night and go to 4 different places because there's not a lot of cover responsibility. So that makes it a bit hard for the bands. Like there is always a financial push and pull, but you just look at this area, and if you're including Prince Edward County or like Adolphustown being a point in between,
Wolf Island.
Yeah, Wolf Island is off.
Up to Westport.
Three great venues on Wolf Island, and like, you know, I mean, that stage at Spicer's on the back deck in the summer. Like I did a show, our second annual this year, where Dave Bonini from the Rio Statics and I sort of split the night and share the band, and it's like become one of my favorite points of the summer, and I think we'll keep doing that. We always finish it, and we're sitting upstairs in the loft at Spicer's, and it's like, well, we should do more of these, and then it never actually happens. But we'll do the one a year at least, and it's so much fun. Like there's something magical about the proximity and all the people that in this relatively small community that go out and support live music. Yeah. Like and there's also, I had a scene in Toronto that I knew a lot of people. There's something about Kingston where that scene, which is smaller, and you see the people on the street, or you see they come to your show, or you go to their show. There's just a love that exists between the musicians.
I think that, you know, the people that want to get something out are the people that are putting in.
Yeah,
and I think that you get a lot of people putting in. You know, and it's
So look at we talked about Tom Savage before. Like look at like what he does.
Yeah,
there is an archetypal community builder like that. Mm-hmm. What he does on Tuesday, every Tuesday at the
RCHA club.
Yeah, the RCHA club is so beautiful. He's roping in
musicians. Open jam.
Yeah.
And
the greatest guitar player in the world is there, and then somebody who's just been playing for 3 weeks, and they're all on equal footing, and Tom just, he's like a beautiful conductor that just brings all this together. And so being around people like that, it really is heartwarming, and getting to play with people like that. And that's, my radio show is exists in that space because I feel a need to sort of, you know, at this point in my life that I can't just be about me. I have to be trying to do something to support younger talent, and there's so much of it, and it's so much harder than it was in the 90s.
Let me ask you about that, because I think, you know, besides your music, I greatly admire your seemingly boundless energy that, you know, enthusiasm that you continue to pour into all of your various projects and the things that you're involved with. You can't do everything you want, and I often feel like I'm spreading myself too thin.
Yeah.
How much is too much, or like how do you decide what are opportunities to say yes to and which ones to turn down? Or do you ever say no?
Well, that's the thing. It's like I forget which book it was, but there was a Geddy Lee quote about, if you're serious about being a musician, you don't ever turn down a gig. And, you know, you do have to be selective. And what he was basically saying is, if there's a gig offered to you that's, you know, 1,600 miles away, then you should probably go do it if it's worth doing. Like, I mean, if your goal is to build a career, because sitting at home and not doing it is building nothing. Mm. You're right. I'm laughing at myself because my thing right now is like, well, I'm going to reassess. And like after last year with Before the Collapse of the Hive, I made a plan that I was going to do as many shows as possible between, I think it was like April and September. By the end of that, because I was doing like 3 or 4 shows a week, I think it wasn't the playing that got me, it was the driving that got me. It was a lot of travel. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pull back a little bit. But this year's kind of been an intense month followed by a quieter month. And a quieter month is probably 4 shows, and then an intense month followed by a quieter month. That's kind of the pattern it's kind of fallen into. And when the year's over, there's still the concern of how much travel is happening right now. Because, like, you know, any show that involves crossing over Toronto is like,
yeah.
Like, you got to mentally prepare for that, because you're sitting in traffic.
It's a black hole.
Yeah. We went to Owen Sound. Chris and I played in Owen Sound. It was a great show. And see, this is the problem. You go to these places, it takes every ounce of energy you have to get there. But then you do the show, and the people are so lovely, and you're like, oh, like, this is exactly what it's supposed to be. But the problem is, we were in the car 9 hours that day, like, to get there and back. Like, it's more than 9 hours. It was probably 11 hours, actually. I mean, eventually, that's going to take a toll, right?
Oh, so, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I know we got to wrap this up, but, you know, real quick, where's the best place our listeners can find and follow you online to stay on top of all the things that you're
right into? It's the StephenStanleyBand.com is where I'm sort of keeping things. But Facebook's probably the best thing. Like, and we've got a bunch of these videos that Jay did that were rolling out. So the second one came out this week, and there's 3 more, and they're all really cool. And 2 of them I haven't seen yet, but he just did a nice job shooting them, and I really like the vibe, and I think he really captured what the spirit of this band is really nicely. Oh, and Jake Burry did the sound and recorded the audio, so that was 2 Kingston guys who are top of their game for sure.
Nice. Well, we'll hit the show notes, and we'll put links there for everyone, and where you can find and follow Steve and watch some of these videos. And don't forget to check out kingstonlive.ca for details and tickets on the Stephen Stanley No Electric Live at the Broom Factory here in Kingston on November 29th with special guest Tanya Joy. And if you're from outside the greater Kingston area, visit StephenStanleyBand.com for the other tour dates. Stephen Stanley, thanks so much for joining us here.
Thanks, Rob. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I apologize for not remembering that you put that show together, because there's so much came out of that show in the last 2 years of my sort of growth into the Kingston music scene. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
This has been Kingston Live. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it, tell a friend, or subscribe on your platform of choice. For show listings, artist info, and all things Kingston music, check out kingstonlive.ca. Kingston Live was produced in Kingston by Soundwise. Hosted by Rob Howard. Voiceovers and technical production by John Sanfilippo. Writing and research by Peter Sanfilippo. Executive producer Rob Howard. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@kingstonlive.ca.
CFRC 101.9 FM's funding drive is now underway. Join us this fall for great events, including our drag bingo fundraiser with local drag legend Tiffany Morgan at the Grad Club on November 18th. Come for a hilarious night of fun with friends and compete for glory and great prizes from CFRC and local sponsors. Only $5 to $10, pay what you can to get in. $5 tickets are now available via CFRC.ca, and they'll be available at the door. The action starts at 7 o'clock on November 18th. See you there. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present Nyson's newest single, Tsunami, a dreamy, catchy funk pop song with hypnotic R&B textures that take you over like a wave, making it an engaging and relaxing listen. Follow Nyson the Band on Instagram for the latest news and local show dates. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Tsunami by Nyson. On, on your favorite platforms, and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Where stories meet sound. My name is Simmer Kaur, host of Melodies of Myth, a show that blends Indian classical and Western music with short tales of culture, history, and identity. Join me every Friday at 3 p.m. only on CFRC. And if you enjoy the music, you can find more by searching Simmer Kaur on Spotify. Tune in, unwind, and let the melodies carry you. Once again, it's Melodies of Myth, 3 p.m. every Fridays.
Are you looking for smoking hot local singles in your area? Well, look no further. Tune in Thursdays at 11:30 for the Release Radar Rundown with great singles released by local Kingston artists, a program made possible in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and our friends at Modern City Taxi. We've got something for everyone with great music across genres made by musicians in our community. Join in the fun. Release Radar Rundown, Thursdays, 11:30 a.m. right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
When I was a child, Timonides, I had a secret fear that night would come and would never end. That we would live out our lives in total darkness. It was a small fear then.
Dark Side of the Tune has returned, and now at an even darker time spot. Tune in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. to get your dose of alternative music, including but not limited to metal, grunge, goth, and more. Hope to see you there.